Shalom Aleichem. We're going to take a few minutes together to prepare for the upcoming Yontif of Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu, this incredible time. We're coming off of the high of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim, of this amazing cleansed feeling, and we get to lean in to the Tshuva Me'ava, to the uplifting period of Sukkot. And specifically, I want to focus today on one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now, the mitzvah of Sukkah is, of course, this beautiful, all-encompassing experience that we're sitting, so to speak, betzela de mehenusa, in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it requires actually attentiveness, because in theory, you can imagine somebody could be sitting in a sukkah and they're not even aware of it. Now, there is a question legally whether mitzvah srichos kavana or not srichos kavana, but of course we know to really maximize our connection to the mitzvah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we need to be paying attention. And the truth is that according to the Bach, it sounds like this attentiveness that we are fulfilling a mitzvah is even essential. It's indispensable for the Kiyam HaMitzvah. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't sound like it's indispensable, but it's certainly important to pay attention. And I would add, it's not just about paying attention to the fact that we're fulfilling the mitzvah, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, of course, our Kavanas HaMitzvah. But the idea is to really lean in to the theme of the mitzvah, to the experience, to the kiyum shebaleiv, to what we're supposed to take away internally from the mitzvah of Sukkah. So one way to structure that is to think about different dimensions of the experience of the Sukkah. And one way to think about that is through this prism of the Ushbizin, the seven guests who visit us over the course of the 7 days of Sukkot. So these Ushbizin, these seven holy shepherds who come, it's not just, of course, that somehow we remember the zechus of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. But according to our tradition, there is this energy, there is this quality, there is this element that exists in the sukkah on that particular day that we could channel in our own lives and our own experiences. So perhaps we could spend a few minutes right now thinking about one theme of the sukkah, one experience, one kavana of the sukkah that we can lean into each day when we are in the sukkah of each of these 7 days. So of course, the first day, our first guest, the fresh excitement, which is the bechina of Avram Avinu, that's the quality of Avram Avinu, the first energy, that initial spark of Judaism. Avram Avinu is referred to as the Rosh HaMa'aminim, the first of those who had emunah. So one kavana is this idea of Avram Avinu as the Rosh HaMa'aminim, the spark, the initial energy, which came from Avram Avinu's love, Avraham Ohavi. This idea of being an Eved Hashem, of having emuna through Ava, reaching out, of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of feeling connected through this amazing channel of Avram Avinu, it fits very well, of course, with the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because Sukkah is the tzela de mehemnusa. It's the shade of emuna, of faith, of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's really, of course, reminding us of the Anani HaKavod, that we traveled in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded us with these clouds of glory. Yes, there's an alternative opinion in the Tanan that it's even remembering the basic sukkos, the sukkos mamish. But for us, it's reminding us of the clouds of glory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us, but we were the ones who showed up. We were the ones who traveled. We followed the Rabbeinu Shalom, Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar Be'eretz Bozrua. We followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. The memory of the sukkah is not just the memory of the love of Hashem that He showered upon us, but it's our love. It's the Ahavas Kalulo Sayach. It's the love when we first began this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that initial love, that's the love of Avraham Avinu, that's the love that we demonstrated when we went into the Midbar. And that's what we do when we leave our house. The Gemara tells us, of course, Tzei Midiras Kava, leave your permanent fixture, and rather Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar. Go out into this, maybe a little bit scary, it's a little uncomfortable, it's a little unknown. It's like going out into the desert. When we leave the comfort of our home, we are expressing that love, that commitment that we did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all those years back. That Ahava, which is rooted in Avraham Avinu, the Rosh HaMa'aminim, the Zera Avraham Ohavi, it's the Tzela de Mehemnusa of the Ava. It fits, of course, with the whole notion that Sukkot is the Tshuva Me'ava. When we sit in the Sukkah on the first day, we have this special quality, the connection of Avraham Avinu and the Ava that we had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second day of Sukkot, our second guest, is the holy Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak, he lived this rarefied, unique spiritual existence after he was offered on the Akedah. We have a tradition, Chazal teach us, that he didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he had the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash of a Karban. He had the sanctity of a Karban because he was brought on top on a Mizbeach for the Akedah. And even though he was not slaughtered, he has this Kedusha of the Ola Tamima. Even in Chazal, there is this image as if Kiviyachol, so to speak, he were to have actually have been slaughtered. This idea is that there is a connection between Yitzchak and this Kedusha, the sanctity of place, of makom. Yitzchak is the Ola Tamima, is Kadosh B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. He can't leave the land. So many suggest that the Kedusha of the Sukkah, it's connected to two. It's connected to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. I heard once in the name of the Vilna Gaon that there are only two mitzvos that a person can fulfill with their entire body, fully immersed in a mitzvah. One is dwelling in a sukkah, the other is dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. And the same is true in the actual structure of the sukkah. The Gemara has a fascinating drasha that Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim ala Chagiga, Kach Shachal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah. The same way that there is an inherent Kedushas Haguf, a special sanctity that relates to the animal sacrifice that you offer in the Beis HaMikdash, it's an inherent Kedusha. Kach, so too, there is an inherent Kedusha in the structure of the sukkah. That has nafkaminas for using branches from the sukkah or pieces of the walls of the sukkah once it was designated. There is a chalos of Kedushas Mikdash. There's a sanctity of this place of the Beis HaMikdash. It reminds us of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. We are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this unique place, and it really is fitting with the guest of Yitzchak, who reminds us that when we step into the sukkah, we have inherited from him this Kedusha, the Kedusha of Mikdash. And we're tapping into that anywhere in the world. As long as we sit in the sukkah, we're tapping into the Kedusha of Yitzchak, of Eretz Yisrael, of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The third guest, the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos in Chutz La'aretz, hopefully I'll have a chance to sit in the sukkah, you know, yes, with all the beautiful tiulim and the trips. And for those who have other things, if other people have to go to work, whatever, but hopefully you can hop a few minutes in the sukkah to sit with the guest, the special guest of Yaakov Shlimta, of Yaakov Avinu. And of course, Yaakov is connected to the sukkah because he built the sukkos. He was also referred to as the Yoshev Ohalim. So he was traveling. He was moving. He wasn't stationary. So Yaakov Avinu, he lived a life that was nomadic. So first he's running away from his brother, he ends up in Lavan, then he has to go down to Egypt. The fact that he lived in tents and that he built sukkos, it reminds us of this portability of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you might think that there has to be dafka, a bias, a diras keva, a fixed house. And if you don't have that house, if you live in exile, if you live on the run, then maybe you can't feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing? What happens when a person finds themselves in Lavan's house, in Paro's house? Yaakov Avinu says, don't worry, you can take the Ribbono Shel Olam with you. He tells, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells, he instructs Yaakov Avinu, don't worry, Anochi Eret Imcha Mitzrayma. I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim with you. And Yaakov Avinu, he takes that with him wherever he goes. Same thing, of course, when he went to Lavan. In Lavan Garti, the Taryag Mitzvos Shamarti. It's also true, of course, because of Yaakov Avinu's relationship to material things. You know, this is also related to that, that Yaakov Avinu maintained his spiritual perspective everywhere when he was in Golis, even when he went to live with Lavan. He lives with Lavan. All of a sudden, he has dreams about sheep. He tells his wives, his children, his whole family, says, we got to go home. We're not dreaming about sheep. So Ulumikneos Asukos, he built sukkos for the chattel, for the behemoths, for the property, because that's not the ikarchios. The ikarchios of a person is Yoshev Oholim, of sitting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We sit in the sukkah, and we can let go of some of the formality of the Olam Hazeh. Of course, there's of course a mitzvah to be mahadir the sukkah, to make noise sukkah, to bring the nicest kalim in the sukkah, but we don't exactly have all of the exact I don't know what you call them, the modern conveniences of life, so to speak. We don't ultimately always have those in the sukkah. I know some people, I remember going as a kid to one of the rabbis in Bar Park, you had to have plumbing in the sukkah, washing station sukkah, amazing, but we don't always have that. But guess what? To connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't need that. We don't need a diras keva. We can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam anywhere. And the Ikar is connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam and leading a life which is rooted in Ruchnias, and it lets go a little bit of the Gashmias. When Nechama and I were first married, so we lived in the Grus Kolo in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, sponsored by Reitz. They gave us a free apartment, furnished apartment, was amazing. And so we left most of our wedding gifts and possessions at home. We took, I think, one becher, maybe two bechers, I think it was only one becher, and we bought used hand-me-downs, they called it a package, of all kinds of flatware and kitchenware and a few things. And we started out our marriage for the first year. It was Dira Sarai. And you know what? It was incredibly beneficial for us. I don't know if I remember those days so easily now, but it was at least good to start out with a foundation to realize, you know what? You spent so much time thinking about what color china and what exactly this flatware should be, and then you realize, you know what? We can live without that. As long as we have the things that are deeply meaningful in our lives, the ruchnias, the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, ba'olam haruchni, from a value standpoint, so then that's the ikar. And so Yaakov, you know, he can live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere in the world. Our guest on the fourth day is Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, teaches us so many things. He's Rabban Shal Yisrael, but maybe one thing that he relates to us as it relates to the sukkah specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the Luchos, I'm going to give you the Torah. Alei Eli Hahara, come up to the mountain to me. Veheye Sham. And just be there. Just be. It's true, when it comes to Pesach, we have to do mitzvahs of achila, and when it comes to lulav, we got to run around, we got to move, we have to shake, na'anuim. But when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, you don't do anything. The mitzvah is just to be. It's true, according to the accepted opinion, we only say the bracha of leishiv asukkah, Shulchan Aruch himself saying leishiv asukkah when you eat. But that's really just a practicality. Really, be'etzem, the mitzvah is teshru. It's just living, it's just being. Teshu means to rest, to stay, to be misakev. We eat in the sukkah, we sleep in the sukkah, we talk in the sukkah, we play games in the sukkah, we learn in the sukkah, we listen to shiurim, whatever we're doing our whole life, we're doing all the other things, but the sukkah is just the being. You don't have to do anything to be mekayim the sukkah. It's alei elai hahara veheye sham. Just be fully immersed in the moment. A person comes into the sukkah, we think, ah, I don't need to worry about anything else except being here right now. When we're in the sukkah, how can we keep reminding ourselves, I'm sitting in the tzela of the Mamnusa, I'm sitting in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sitting in the shade of the Borei Olam, I'm enveloped in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just Heye Sham. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. There was a big Talmud Chacham, Tzaddik, great Manig, his name is Rabbi Sender Gross, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Rabbi Gross, because of his ill health, in the late 1940s, early 1950s, he was traveling around making schools all over the world, different places, starting with Torah Mesorah and then Chinuch HaTzmai. He settled in Miami Beach, Florida. And he was so connected to Avos Hashem, to mitzvos, to loving the Ribbono Shel Olam, that when it came time for sukkahs, he would sit in the sukkah and just glow. And he wasn't glowing because he was getting a sunburn because it was 100 degrees outside. If anybody who knows, and I've been there, B'didi Hava Ovda, it can be blistering hot. So people came to visit Rabbi Gross in the sukkah, and it was not like they had now. Now people put the air conditioning in their sukkah. There was no air conditioning. He was sitting in the sukkah, and he was just enjoying being there. Heyesham. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Baruch Shel Olam, just be there. Just be there. And that's what we're invited to do on sukkahs. Not to look for other things. Not nanuim. Nanuim is good for the lulav, but the sukkah, just Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Heye Sham. Don't worry when you have to leave. When you're there, just be present. Our fifth guest for Sukkos, Habol Lin Latova, Aharon HaKohen. And of course, Aharon HaKohen is a fitting guest for the Sukkah, because if the Sukkah is Bizchus, it's actually in the merit of the Anani HaKavod. That's what we remember. Well, the Anani HaKavod were in the merit of Aharon HaKohen. That's what Chazal teaches. That's why, unfortunately, when Aharon passed away, when we lost Aharon's presence, Bahai Alma in this world, all of a sudden, we were vulnerable to being attacked. So Aharon HaKohen, he created this insulation in the Midbar, this Anani HaKavod, this surrounding of the camp. And that means many things, but maybe one thing that we could think about, which maybe we don't often think about, is that the Anane HaKavod, it actually created a bubble in which the entire community lived. It created a sense of togetherness for the entire Jewish people. If you were living in Shevet Gad, you were in the same bubble with Shevet Yisachar. Maybe you didn't live in the same area around the Machane, but now all of a sudden, the entire Machane Yisrael, which was, you know, a huge area, it's like the size of public thoroughfare, the Gemara talks about how it was the Diglei Midbar was a very large area, and people could feel disconnected, but through the merit of the Anane HaKavod, all of a sudden, all Jews felt connected. And of course, that fits with the beautiful message of Aaron HaKohen, of Oveh Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, of the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, the Avos Dor Nelson, how Aaron HaKohen would mend relationships between different people, working Bein Adam L'Chaveru. So the Gemara has a fascinating, interesting drasha that we know that you're allowed to sit in someone else's sukkah. You're allowed to be yotzei your mitzvah of sukkah with a barred sukkah, because the Gemara has a drasha of kol ezrach b'yisrael yesh basukos. The Gemara says we assume, not like the minority opinion, that anybody could sit in anybody else's sukkah because every sukkah is roy for everyone to sit in it. Kol ezrach b'yisrael yesh basukos. Everybody, in theory, all the Jewish people could sit in one sukkah. In theory, if you had a gigantic sukkah that size. Why? Because it's like that Anane HaKavod, that everybody can fit in one sukkah. Even if people have different orientations toward life, they have different shvatim, meaning they have different drachim and avodas Hashem. Aaron HaKohen brought us the Anane HaKavod. He brought us the realization that we look across the table, the person who's at our sukkah, maybe is a little bit different. Or maybe we look into somebody else's sukkah and we see somebody who's different. Aaron HaKohen says, we're all in the same Anane HaKavod. We're all Kol Yisrael. We're all Ru'im Leishi B'Sukkah Achas. We sit in the sukkah on this, the fifth day of sukkah, so that we bring Aaron HaKohen in. We try to remember, oh, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael. Every Jewish person has a place in this sukkah. How do we make space for them? How do we see the beauty in other Jews? How do we see the spark of the Ribbono Shel Olam in somebody who lives differently than I do? So this is perhaps a challenge and invitation when we have Kavana, we invite Aaron HaKohen into our sukkah. We're inviting all Jews to be part of this love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but really, as the Baal Shem Tov teaches, if you want to start your journey toward Avas Hashem, you start with Avas Yisrael, loving other people, the Ava of Aaron HaKohen. Our sixth guest, the guest of Yosef HaTzadik, which according to the Mekubalim, Yosef joins us on the sixth day. According to the non-Mekubal tradition, it goes in the chronological order. So Yosef would come in at number four, but we have, if we follow the Mekubal, the Chassidim, Yosef Tzadik, Tzadik Yesod Olam is number six. There's an amazing, amazing, beautiful Sfasemes. Sfasemes says that we commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol meodecha. Rosh Hashanah says the Eligah Sfasemes, Rosh Hashanah, that's the day when with a whole heart we say, Hashem Melech, you're the king. Yom HaKippurim, it's B'chol Nafshecha. We lean into our neshamas, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, our nefesh is yours. B'chol Me'udecha, with all of our money, with all of our resources, that's Sukkos. Yosef HaTzadik, he was the Mashbir L'chol Am Ha'aretz. He was the one who was the economic wizard. He was the one who gathered all of the produce of Egypt and guided them to economic prosperity, despite the fact that there was an impending famine. This Yontif of the Chag HaOsif, it's when we gather in all of those crops, just like Yosef did. We say, B'chol Me'odecha, we have all of these incredible material gifts. We focus them, we channel them to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zeh Keli V'yam Ve'u, the special emphasis that we have of having a beautiful sukkah, of Noye Sukkah, the halachos of Noye Sukkah. Yosef teaches us that you could be involved in the world, you could be a mashbir l'chol am ha'aretz, and you channel it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're living in an unbelievably blessed society. For most of us, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with material prosperity. Baruch Hashem, that's difficult to compare in history in the Jewish community. Obviously, there are people we need to take care of. You know, here in Chicago, Baruch Hashem, we have the Ark, and we have the Chicago Chesed Fund and other important mosques that take care of those who don't have. But by and large, as a Jewish community, Baruch Hashem, we have Mamish, us, if we bring in so much, we have so much, and yet this is the opportunity to remind ourselves that all of that bracha, all of that bounty, it's meant to be channeled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel avolam kol hevel. We remember that the value of the material stuff that we've got, it shouldn't cloud what's really important to us. Yosef says you can live in an affluent society like Egypt, and you can still be a tzaddik. You can have an incredible wealth, and you could use it to be mashpil l'chol am ha'aretz. You can use it to support the people who don't have a beautiful sukkah, who don't yet have the means to buy a dal of minim, who aren't able to be ma'anig yomtiv. So you can give tremendous tzedakah, and you can enhance your sukkah by welcoming aniyim and people who need, and you can have a noye sukkah. All of this is remembering the Yosef, the mashpil l'chol am ha'aretz. When we sit in the sukkah on the sixth day, we say, oh, all of this asif, all of this bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, it's meant like Yosef HaTzadik, zeh keli va'anveyu. We're going to be misnah lefanav of the mitzvah. So we're going to make sure that our priorities are correct, that when we sit in the sukkah, we think about how we use and how we value the ma'od, the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And finally, this gift of David HaMelech, David Malka Mashiach, the seventh guest, of course, the Bechina of Malchus, of David HaMelech, the Sukkas David HaNofoles. There's so many things to say that connect David HaMelech to the sukkah, but maybe one way to think about David HaMelech when you're sitting on the sukkah, in the sukkah, about to say goodbye, it's Hoshana Rabbah, it's this incredibly beautiful and holy day, is that the sukkah, the Sukkas David, there is a measure of vulnerability. David lived a life, David HaMelech, that was not a life of certainty. First of all, when he was growing up, there was very little likelihood that he was ever going to become the king. Even the holy prophet Shmuel, when he went to find him, he couldn't believe. I mean, the Baruch Shem had to tell him, "Al tabin amareu, I'm telling you, don't look at the other boys. This is the boy." Shmuel couldn't believe it. David HaMelech, he becomes king, but even at the beginning, there's a lot of uncertainty. He was being chased by Shaul. There was a lot of infighting. Finally, becomes the king, and even then, it's never quite certain. Never things didn't exactly with his children, and finally, even his malchus, wasn't 100% certain. He wanted to maintain the kingship until the end, and unfortunately had a son who rebelled against him, Lo Aleinu. Then he had another son that almost rebelled against him. There's a level that David HaMelech lives of vulnerability, of not feeling shalem or whole or fixed or kavua in this world. And so what does he do? The power of this vulnerability, he channels it. He channels it to a book that we call Tehillim. Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim is David HaMelech's, his emotional just flowing. It's like David HaMelech's heart pours out onto the page. And in Im Zemiras Yisrael, he shares with us in this most vulnerable and intimate way all of his fears, all of his triumphs. Like, imagine, would we ever write a book of poetry that exposes, that shares this depth of emotion, of the times that David HaMelech feels that he's being crushed and the times that he feels triumphant? It's just incredible. He gave us this unbelievable spiritual gift. David HaMelech gave us this gift of vulnerability, and he channels it in one place, in the Ribono Shel Olam. In Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, I take all of my vulnerabilities, and Ribono Shel Olam, I look to you. I take all of my anxieties, my fears, my disappointments, and I look at you and I say, I'm with you on this journey. You're with me. I take all of my triumphs and I say, thank you for being with me on this journey. It nurtures this incredibly deep bond. It nurtures David HaMelech's bond with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's the fact that he's living constantly in a sukkah, in something which is, it's rickety. It blows in the wind. He doesn't feel fixed and confident. He feels vulnerable. He uses that vulnerability to nurture his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sitting in the sukkah, we look at this Diras Aroi, this temporary dwelling, and we realize how vulnerable our lives really are, how vulnerable our existence is, and how much we depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many times we struggle with setbacks, and how many times we celebrate great milestones. And we oscillate between these two, but it's all in the context of a sukkah, of vulnerability. But just like David HaMelech, who took that vulnerability, the highs and lows of his emotional reality, And he turned that into a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which created a bond. This bond of love that, according to the Balatanya, just it's such a strong bond that it even overshadowed, eradicated Dovla Melech's Yetzirah, which is like, it's stratospheric. It's hard for us to even understand that. But that bond through vulnerability is what creates the relationship, and ultimately the relationship of love, of Ahava. Perhaps in our own lives, we see this, that through the intimate relationships that we have with others, concentric circles between spouses or family members or very close friends or rabbeim or mentors, we share vulnerabilities, whether they are struggles or accomplishments. And through that, we build interpersonal relationships. We deepen our relationships through the trust that is nurtured through vulnerability. So David HaMelech is telling us, sit in the sukkah, look around and realize how vulnerable your life is. So turn to the Ribono Shel Olam and do what I did. Make your vulnerability, your life, your emotional ups and downs, your roller coasters, your lows and your highs, make that into a song, into a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look up through the skach and see the Ribono Shel Olam peering at us, meitzitz min acharakim, looking down at us. Nurture our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam using our vulnerability to connect, to create that Ahava. Sukkot, of course, is the period of tshuva me'ahava. The sukkah is that feeling of the embrace when we feel like we're in a good place, and the embrace when we feel like we need chizuk. David HaMelech, he had that connection, that love, that vulnerability, that relationship that he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we too can nurture that in our own lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the schus that we should feel his presence, the presence of the Tzela Demeh Hamnusa, this yontif, this sukkah. And we should be zocher to be mekabel the amazing guests of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, and continue to be elevated through our avodah of this incredible mitzvah of the yeshiva b'sukkah this year.